Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm Bill Moss. I'm your host of American Patriots Have Responded. We are the radio show for CitizensAgainstTerrorism.org. We're an organization that has been set up. We help the police in these times of riots and stuff in our communities. We also will help them anytime there is any type of terrorist attack. We will help them anytime there is any type of insurrection of any sort in our cities. We also help in times of natural disaster. We're setting up to be able to help people when they're in need. We sponsor goodwill in our communities by doing acts of kindness. And we're around. We're in a lot of cities, and we're growing every day. We started the 25th of June of this year, and we're already in 33 cities, and we're growing. So we want to welcome you to the show. My co-host today is Debbie Morth. Today's show is being sponsored by Jeff's Sporting Goods in Pittsburgh, Kentucky, approximately 1 mile north of London, Kentucky, at Green Roof Plaza. Jeff has trailer accessories, archery supplies, guns, ammo, fishing tackle, and more. So if you have needs in those areas, check Jeff out. He's also in the phone book. Hello, Debbie. Welcome to American Patriots Have Responded.
Hey, Bill. I am so excited to be here and help with probably the most important thing that anybody alive today could be involved in. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, we're glad to have you here. Debbie, today's broadcast is about Kyle Rittenhouse. Now, you and I have been investigating this for ever since it happened. And we found a whole lot out about this situation. We're going to share it with the people today. We're going to expose the truth about what happened in Kenosha. Kyle and his group were asked to protect a car dealership that had extensive damage. They were there to protect what was left. Kyle was there. His job was to be a medic. He's an EMT, and his job was to be a medic in order to be able to help anybody that was hurt. And we're going to have links in this show that backs up everything we're saying. And I hope that the listeners will go to those links in our show description today, that they'll take the time to go through, listen to, and watch and read what we have put up. There's five links in there. It's well worth your time. This is an important issue. Debbie, you know how the media has been handling this, and you know what we found. Is there a stark difference?
Oh, my God. You know, this whole 100-plus days that you and I and everybody that's really paying attention has watched this, the mainstream media has, it appears, intentionally looked the other way as certain places just erupt, and nobody knows. Nobody knows, Phil. Nobody knows. Yep. Not being told. You have to really investigate, get on these social media and streaming sites, and there it is. You can dig, but you've got to do your homework, and you've got to really want to know.
And we've done that homework for our listeners, haven't we? Okay, I want to point out something, too. You know, this car dealership that they were asked to come and protect, this group that he was with, this car dealership and any other business that's being attacked, destroyed, looted, or anything by these rioters, by these terrorists that are in our communities, people think that, you know, their insurance pays for it. They don't. Anytime it's a terrorist attack or it's a riot or something, your insurance is no good. Today, I want to talk to you first. We have on the link, we have a interview that was done by a news agency that where they talked to the leader or a person that was in the group that was a witness to what happened. And as you know, Debbie, I mean, when you play the footage of what happened front to back, we've got the whole thing. We've got it right from the beginning all the way through. You're going to find out everything this man is saying is true. right down to the letter. Did you find any discrepancies in what he said?
Oh, no. It's that I think the links that you placed into the show notes is like boom, boom, boom. I mean, it just lists it one at a time. And everything you've done, you know, we've done our homework. I mean, the gentleman that is being interviewed on the podcast that is linked into the first link that you've mentioned or written out here for our listeners is really playing it from beginning to end. What this Kyle, he's like a hero of mine. What he went through, and from front to back, and then we've got everything linked in where they can watch it firsthand. Everybody can see exactly how this has rolled. So I really am excited to be on board with this because we've got to let people know, Bill. We've got to let people know.
Well, you know, during the interview, the gentleman talked about they were using Molotov cocktails. They were shooting all around. He and a couple other people were on top of a building at the car dealership, providing overhead support as far as, you know, if it come down to a firefight, which they prayed it wouldn't. And they even had ammonia and chlorine mixed together. They were throwing up on that roof. And this is a deadly concoction when you do that. I mean, they're using chemical weapons. They're using Molotov cocktails. You'll see that in the video. Kyle, you know, we have an interview with Kyle. And in that interview, you know, Kyle makes it clear that his job there is to provide emergency medical aid to anyone and that his weapon is only there for his self-defense. And we actually have video in the links of him rendering aid to one of the protesters, I don't want to call them protesters. There was no protesters. You look on the thing, you will not, on the video, you will not find one sign. You will not find anybody shouting a slogan. It is utter chaos in the streets. Buildings are being burned. Churches are being set on fire. Car dealerships, they destroyed the biggest end of that car dealership's inventory, and that's just a loss for him. He don't have any insurance that will cover this. And so, I mean, they were out there trying to do what needs to be done. They were out there trying to protect the businesses, trying to protect the lives of everybody, even the protesters, you know, by rendering aid. The one lady that they show, she had got injured in the foot by a projectile. They didn't say if it was a bullet or what it was, but they said it was a projectile. And he was rendering aid to her. He got cut off at that point, did he not?
Oh, yeah. No, when he was trying to go back to the other location where they were protecting this car dealership owner's properties, he had three, I believe he had three properties, Bill, two mechanic shops and the car dealership. The car dealership is destroyed. In fact, the whole town is destroyed. Remember when we listened to the podcast and he was alias Walt that was having the podcast that was working with Kyle's team, and he described it as a war zone worse than Iraq. All night as soon as it hit dark, there was shooting, bombs, broken windows, gunshots, about hundreds, and I mean, it was unbelievable. Like you were in a full blown war. So yes, when he stopped to aid, he's a medic, for God's sake. He's 17 years old. This guy's an incredible human being, and he stopped to help, and then he got separated from the group. He couldn't get back to his group.
You know, and they say that, you know, I've seen comments on the internet. Well, what was he doing in Kenosha? He lives in Illinois. Well, you know, you can stand on the line and you can put one foot in the town he was in and the town he lives in. It was next door, number one. Number two, the second thing is that Kyle works there. He's a lifeguard. You know, we've got a young man that's a lifeguard. He's an EMT. He's aspiring to be a police officer. You know, this is a young man. He's been in the police officer training outfit they have, you know, for youth, you know, to bring them up to be police officers. And he was defending the people in that area, you know, both the protesters and the other people too. He was there to render them aid. He was there to try to save property. He was there to try to do the right thing. And when you listen to that interview, if you remember, Walt said something about that when he got cut off, you know, the police wouldn't let him go back to his unit. They made him go another direction. He was trying to get back to his unit. That kind of forced him into this situation. He couldn't get back to safety because they wouldn't let him. The second thing was, is he went to a place where another unit was with a different organization to go for safety so he wouldn't be alone. And when he got there, guess what? They weren't there. They had left their post. And so this boy found himself in an awkward situation. He was trying to get back. You know, he was assaulted. You've seen the video. You've seen the video. You've seen where they was throwing Molotov cocktails at him. They were chasing him. Go ahead.
Well, Judge, I mean, wasn't it based on the fact that he took a fire extinguisher there? He was putting out a dumpster fire, and it made the men. Remember the guys that got mad, Bill? Remember the guys that got mad? They're the ones that. You know, ended up in a really bad place.
Yes, two of the ones that were saw in the video at the dumpster fire, which we have that link there too. It's all on there. Two of the people that were that got shot. They were two of the first and second person to get shot. When they tried to set that dumpster on fire, they were going to roll it up against the building to try to get the building on fire. And he came out with a fire extinguisher. He ended up handing it off to somebody else. They put the fire out. Like you say, you know, the crowd became enraged because, you know, they were stopped from setting something on fire. The first guy that got shot was right up in his face, if you remember, and I won't say the N-word, but he was saying, shoot me N-word, trying to taunt him, trying to, you know, be aggressive. He was aggressive toward him. He was, you know, somebody comes at me like that, there's going to be a problem. I'm not going to just stand there and, because, I mean, you know, that guy was at the point of, ready to injure this boy. It was very obvious. You'll see it when you go to our links. You'll see that. You'll see his aggression toward him. But also, there's a guy that the second guy shot is also in the video. If you look, you'll see him holding the skateboard that he later hits Kyle in the head with. Thing happened. That happened. That got him going even worse. And then he went to render aid to this young lady that had got hit in the foot with a projectile. Somehow he got cut off from his people. And that's when the police refused to let him go to the people. So he had to go to that backup plan that didn't work out. We have footage on there. Debbie, tell us about what we saw where they chased him into the lot and cornered him. In between the cars where the first shooting happened.
And, you know, that's interesting because the way his commander, friend, whoever was kind of helping form the group, he explained it a couple of ways that they were all keeping an eye on Kyle. This is an amazing boy. You could see by what he went through, 500 people attacking him for 10 minutes or more, 20 or whatever it was. And he was a target, Bill. So when the police called a riot. Then they got separated, and they wouldn't let him in to go with his group to the other location to protect it. Well, then he stays behind. Then all of a sudden, the police move the riot toward him after what you were explaining. So he gets stuck there. He's calling on the phone, trying to let his team know, oh, my God, you know, this is crazy. And these rioters were so hell-bent on attacking this boy because that's what they looked at him as a weak, injured animal out there alone. And they had horrible intent for this kid. I think he was going to get killed. I think they were going to kill him.
Yeah, it appeared to be. They show him running across the parking lot to where he got cornered in the cars. The guy that he ended up allegedly shooting, the first guy, he was right behind him. He was a convicted felon. He was basically arrested for a sexual assault on a minor, and I have seen, and I'm not able to confirm this part totally, but I have seen that the felony that he was convicted for also included a murder. So if that is true, I mean, that's even more reason to fear somebody like that. I'm sure he didn't know his record, but at the same time, he might have. This guy's coming at him. He's very aggressive. He's throwing Molotov cocktail at him. He ends up getting boxed in those cars. He fires his weapon to protect himself. Another report that we are still digging into is whether or not that guy had a knife on him, pulled a knife on him when he was shot. If we find that out, we will let that be known in another episode, possibly next week in the second half of our episode. But also, you know, this boy was back then. I mean, he was, and I don't want to call him a boy. Let me rephrase that. This was a man. He handled himself as a man. He used his head. He only used deadly force, from what I can tell, when it was necessary. And I don't think if you watch that and you watch it with an open mind that you can come to any other conclusion. I mean, this boy's life was in danger. He had a mob. He had a mob chasing him down the street, probably hundreds of people, it looked like, chasing him down the street. And the whole time he's in retreat mode unless he's cornered or unless he's attacked to where he's down. And that is the only time he uses his weapon. He even shows discretion in one part. We'll get to that later about not shooting somebody when they backed off. But you'll find in this, you'll have the interview with Walt that we're talking about. And then you'll go on down and you'll have an interview with Kyle where he's explaining, you know, that he's there to render aid and his weapons for his self-protection. After that, you'll see a link where he's performing first aid on this person we're talking about. The dumpster fire starts it all off, and then the bottom link one of the links on there is to a statement by his attorneys, and on that statement too, there is a place that you can go and donate to Cal's Defense Fund if you so wish to do so. By the way, while we're talking, I want to let everybody know that the phone lines are up. If anybody wants to call into the show today to comment or to ask questions, we'll be glad to do our best to answer any questions you have. But at the same time, I want to say don't be calling in to try to cause trouble because you will be blocked. So this is important. You know, if you want to call and have a civil discussion, if you want to call and voice an opposing view, that's fine. We'll talk about it. We'll discuss it. But if you call in and you're screaming, or if you call in and you're trying to talk over us and you refuse to answer our questions, you will be gone. So let's just make that clear to start with. We don't have any problem with opposing views. You've got your First Amendment right to speak your piece, but let's do it peacefully. And, you know, we welcome opposing views. We welcome debate. but we do not welcome somebody coming in trying to cause trouble on the show, and especially foul language. One of the things, you know, we talked about Kyle, and you know, it starts out with the dumpster fire, and he's helping this girl, and the next thing you know, they're chasing him. The police are refusing to give him a way back to let him have a passage back to his people. We talked about the Molotov cocktails. Those things are dangerous. When they bust that rag that's on fire in that bottle, it ignites the flammable liquid inside. If it splashes on you, it catches you on fire. It come very close to hitting him, if you remember. If you look at the video, he actually kind of does a little hop jump there when he hears the bottle hit, because he knows what's happening.
Didn't we hear a gunshot before? There was at least one gunshot. We figured might have been the Glock carrier. We don't know, but there was shooting at him while he was running. Right.
The person shooting at him, you saw the muzzle flash. The video, they highlight that so you can see it. The muzzle flash was from across the street, and they were shooting at him when he was going between those cars. And it could have very well been the person that had the Glock later that done that. And, we got to take into account the boy's being chased. He's being pursued. He's being thrown Molotov cocktails at. We know there was that one gunshot before the muzzle flash. You can see it and hear the shot before he starts firing. So, he was already under fire by these rioters. They're not protesters. They're rioters. They're rioters and they're terrorists. And if you remember at one point in the video, it says they're Antifa. And Antifa is a terrorist organization designated so by the United States government. So he was out in the streets running for his life, running from Antifa, while they were using Molotov cocktails, which are incendiary devices. You might as well have a pipe bomb as have that. It's under the same classification with the law. They're shooting at him. He's under fire. You have a right when somebody's firing on you to fire back. There's the question about whether the man that got hit first, if in between the cars there, if he had a knife or not. And like I said, I'm not going to say he did for sure until we're able to verify that. But at this point, I just want to put that out there that it was a possibility, that it is true. We've heard multiple reports about that, but we've really not found anything hardcore to prove it. But he was shot right there in that area where Kyle tried to get through, and they pinned him in.
What about grabbing the gun? I heard Mr. Rioter Rosenbaum tried to grab his weapon, and there was more to the story. That might not be confirmed as well, but that's what the studies that we've done. Do you remember that, Bill?
Yeah, I do remember that. Thank you for bringing that up, because there was comment that we had that he had actually tried to disarm him, tried to take his gun. They looked at Kyle because of his age as a kid, and what they done was they misjudged a man. And Kyle was able to handle himself very well, very well. I would hope that if ever put in that situation, that anybody in our organization would be able to do the same thing as far as being able to handle themselves the way he did. We don't want bloodshed, and Kyle didn't want bloodshed, and the group that went there didn't want bloodshed that was trying to defend these businesses. This is the last thing you want. But when you're put in a corner and people are shooting at you, throwing incendiary devices at you, you don't have no choice. What are you going to do, lay your gun down and say, go ahead and kill me, or here's my gun, shoot me with it? You can't do that.
Well, and there's a whole question. Why are these groups that are trying to protect businesses, the city? I mean, this is going to be a Newark, New Jersey from the 60s and Detroit, same with Minneapolis. You know, why are these, Bill, why are they out there? Because nobody's protecting these cities. That's a big deal.
Right. You know, that's why we started out being formed was the simple fact that the police that wanted to do their job are being hamstrung by their politicians in their towns, their mayors, their governors. And it's the same case here. These police officers would like to be able to do something, a lot of them. But the only problem is you're being hamstrung. You're being ordered to stand down, to not do anything. That is happening in these cities. We've seen it in Portland. We've seen it in Eugene. We've seen it in Springfield. We've seen it over in L.A. We've seen it in New York. We've seen it, you know, all over across the country. It's the same thing. These cities with these mayors and governors that refuse to step up and take action. And the reason they're doing it, and I'm going to say this is across both aisles, because there's one city that has a different party than the ones that all these are happening. The reason they're doing it is for political gain. They're doing that because they think these people are the ones that's going to put them into office. Well, now they're finding out that it's not going to get them into office. Now there's a lot of different things going on, you know. Finally, they're starting to stand up after this shooting and say, oh, well, we got to put a stop to this. We got to put a stop to this. Well, you know what? The President of the United States has been begging them to let him bring in federal officers, bring in National Guard, and they've been refusing to let him do that. Now, I don't know why the President hasn't filed the, you know, enacted the Insurrection Act of 1945, come in, put the governor out, put the National Guard commander in that state and, you know, in charge is what they do when they remove a governor under the Insurrection Act. And then he can fire the mayors and appoint an interim mayor until they can have a special election to get someone in. If they're not going to let the police defend their cities, there's a problem there, because a municipality is required to provide police protection, fire protection, emergency services such as EMS. They're required to do everything right down to tax collection, trash collection. They're not doing the most important part, and that's to protect and defend the people of their cities. That's why they're elected in there. They have to also learn that we don't work for them. They work for us, and we have to remind them. And this is a terrible situation with this young man. You know, if you go ahead and follow, let's go back to what they're going to see on the video. After he's pinned between the cars, after he's had to shoot this individual, he comes back around, picks up the phone. Now, brother, he was calling for help from his group, or rather he was calling for 911, I don't know, but he was on the phone. He was standing there calmly. Somebody else was rendering aid. I think possibly he ran back around to check on the guy, see if he could help him. But, I mean, that's just my opinion. Then they turn around and they start chasing him again, so he has to run. They're shooting at him. You can hear the gunfire when he's running. He ends up running a good long run, staying ahead of these people, and they're gaining on him. And eventually, you pointed this out. You remember how they knocked him down? The guy came running up behind him and punched him in the head, knocked him down, did he not?
He sucker punched him on the left side. You can see it. And then he you know how he was trotting down the street like a soldier. Like a,
right.
You know, like an Army Ranger or something. This kid was incredible, or man. I'm going to call him a man as well. But, yes, he got hit in the head or the neck on the left pretty hard. And they were coming up behind him, these full-grown big guys. So, yes, and Kyle's not that big. Kyle's not that
right.
big.
Right. And the reason he was running like that, he was keeping his calm. He paced himself where he could try to stay ahead of the crowd. But now if you would panic, you would run dead out as hard as you could. And what happens when you panic and you run out dead out as hard as you can, as you know, as an athlete, you know that you wind yourself and then you're overtaken. So he was doing everything he could to pace himself, stay ahead of the crowd when this guy gained on him, sucker punched him. Now, he hit the ground. He hit the ground. Do you remember the picture of the guy kicking him in the face when he went down?
Oh, my gosh. He leaped at him. He literally, you know, when you do a leap, you know, because we're both in martial arts, he leaped at him to slam dunk him. Yes. Kick. I mean, a hard thing. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
and he
knocked
him.
That was the first attack when he hit the ground. Now, the second attack, and you'll see it, guys, people, when you watch this video, the second attack that happened was immediately when that happened. Kyle had pointed his gun at this guy, and he fell. I don't know if he shot at him or not. I don't think he did. I don't remember hearing a shot at that point. But I do know that right after that happened, he was trying to get back up, and he was attacked by the guy with the skateboard that you're going to see back at the dumpster fire. If you watch, you'll see somebody holding the skateboard. That's the same guy that ended up hitting him in the head. So he chased him from that dumpster fire all the way down to where this happened, okay? And this guy hammers him in the back and the side of the head with this skateboard. And he rolls over, and this guy gets up and is going at him again, and that's when Kyle allegedly shoots him. And you hear gunshots, so I'm going to say he probably did. The guy makes it about 10 feet away and collapses. Then immediately after that, there's a guy that comes up to him, at him. The video shows the man had a Glock pistol in his hand. Now, one of the things we've seen on major media, we've seen on some of these media sites, is that pistol has been cropped out of the picture. It makes it look like his hand is empty. Our video shows him drawing his pistol from his back, does it not?
Well, yes, and thank God there's a few honest journalists and news worthy affiliations that are on internet that will actually show you if you go onto social media. Oh, there's a gun big as life, and they did crop it out. So we were photo shooting or photoshopping things out of our pictures to make it look a whole different story. I won't watch mainstream news at all, so I won't do it.
And then you see him drawing the gun out of his back. He approaches Kyle.
Right.
He comes at Kyle with that gun. He's
right.
Taking aim at him. And when he does, Kyle fires, and the guy moves, and it misses him. So the guy backs up. The guy backs up. And he's not got the gun pointed at him. So what does Kyle do? Nothing. As long as the threat is not there, he could have shot him when he backed up if he was just out to kill people. He could have shot him when he backed up. But what did he do? He waited.
Right. And you said it yourself. He could have laid out that whole. He had a lot of ammunition on him and to protect, and a lot of ammunition. He could have laid out that whole crowd, Bill.
Well, by the gunshots, we counted. That he, you know, allegedly fired, by the gunshots we counted that were supposed to be his, he probably had over 20 rounds still left in a 30-round magazine that weapon holds. So, I mean, he used restraint. When this guy come back at him, however, after he backed up and didn't do anything, and Kyle didn't shoot him, when he come back again with that pistol pointed at him, that's when Kyle shot him, and he blew part of his arm off. You know, well, not off, but he blew, you know, a big chunk out of his arm. You know, and that's what a 223 round does to somebody. You know, these people that's out here in the streets, and they think people aren't going to fight back, then they need to start looking at that graphic picture. I warn you, it is graphic. That graphic picture, and that picture will show you what you're going to end up against if you keep pushing people in this country, because people in this country are starting to stand up. They're starting to show up at rallies. They're starting to stand up in the street. They're starting to resist these rallies. And we're seeing violence breaking out in cities where these people will no longer take it, and they're attacked and they're fighting back. And so this is just a warning to all the Black Lives Matters people out there. You know, I'm telling you, you're not protesters. You're terrorists, just like Antifa is. When you go into a town and you go into a town and you act like this mob was when Kyle was forced into this situation, you're no longer a peaceful protester. You are a terrorist. Antifa is a terrorist. You know, we heard people from their side over there say that those guys are Antifa, okay? And so when this guy comes back to what happened then, when Kyle come at when he come at Kyle the second time, Kyle shot him. Well, at that point, people started backing off, you know, because they know that one guy's been shot, and then they chase him down the street. They knock him down. They attack him, and he still manages to take out two of his attackers, you know, to either shoot one and kill him or to take one out allegedly. You know, I'm saying this allegedly because until the ballistics come back, you know, I believe, you know, it looked like he did that. I don't find any fault with what he did because, you know, in my mind and in my training that I've had, it was clearly self-defense. But at the same time, when he gained back to his feet, they were firing. You could hear a hail of gunshots coming downrange at him. And knew he was out of their range. So all he did was if you remember, he kept his weapon at the ready position, but he had the barrel at the ground. Okay? He was practicing safe practice. And he started backing off, watching them. Now, if you want to consider this to whether that's the right way to do it or not, I urge you to look up the day that the Beulah Land Management backed down from the militia at the Bundy Ranch. They exited that situation the exact same way that Cal exited his. Now, when he got down the street and he knew he was at a safe distance, Kyle turns around, holds his hands up in the air, and starts walking toward the police. Now, if you remember, and this is something I want to get to, you remember, you look at those police sitting down there. There was Bearcats. There were police cars. And what were they doing? They sat and watched this boy being attacked. They sat and done nothing. They done nothing. And finally, he walks up to him with his hands in the air to surrender himself. He got sprayed with pepper spray and told to go on. He did not flee from them. The media has tried to portray it that he fled, that he went across the interstate lines fleeing, and that they went into his house to arrest him. And all that's a lie. We're going to get to that in a minute. But he did not do anything provocative with the police. The police told him to go on, even after they'd pepper sprayed him. This kid did a wonderful job. But, I mean, he went through all of this with the police sitting down there. They seen him getting hit in the head, knocked down. They seen him getting stomped on. They seen him getting hit in the head with the skateboard. They seen him being attacked with a man with a pistol. And they sat there. They waited until he walked to them to surrender, sprayed him with pepper spray, and then told him to go ahead. This is a problem in our country. This is a problem in our country. Once they told him to go ahead, they rolled in. Now, how long did it take them to disperse this riot? 2 minutes. Do you remember that?
Yes. How did they do that, Bill? How come they were allowed by the governor and the mayor? How come they were allowed to all of a sudden use strong force and the streets were cleared in 2 minutes? What is going on here?
Well, let's look at that situation. Because, you know, they were there before it. Kyle actually was asking them for water, if you remember. They were there before all this happened. They did nothing then. They let, and I want to point out something else about Kyle,
yeah,
which you'll hear in that video. Not only did Kyle try to put out cars at the dealership that night, he went down the street, and him and another one of his people actually put a fire out in a church. Do you remember that?
Right. Yes, I do. Yes, he was trying to save the town.
Right. I mean, there's just another example of what he was trying to do, the right thing. Now, when we look at this situation and the police sitting there, you know, one has to wonder, well, why are they sitting there? Well, then one has to wonder, too, let's look at the mayor. Let's look at the governor. What are the rules for, you know, engagement? They're being told to stand back and let their cities burn. They're being told not to interfere with these so-called peaceful protesters who are nothing but rioters, terrorists, thieves, looters, arsonists, murderous people. And so Kyle's in the middle of all this running for his life, and they sit there and watch the attack on him, and they never roll in. They never roll in.
Well, they rolled in.
They rolled in after he went down there. They rolled in and dispersed the crowd, okay?
Right.
But the only, you know, you got to stop and think, well, now, wait a minute. Why did they wait so long? Well, do you know what the first thing everybody started hollering was? Kyle was a part of a militia, a racist, supremacist, white group, okay? Do you remember seeing all that stuff on there? So every time somebody comes in and stands up for the country, we've seen it in Portland, we've seen it in other places. Every time somebody comes in and stands up for the country, you're labeled as a white supremacist, as a racist, you know, you're a radical right winger, things of that sort. I mean, there's even black people in militias. There's black people in our group. There's people from all nationalities that are either in our group or welcome to join our group, as long as they're U.S. citizens. And we don't make no difference in that. We're very clear on our end of it that we don't get involved with politics. We try to keep it neutral. We don't get involved into religious differences. We keep that out of the organization. Everybody has their political beliefs. They all have their religious beliefs. And we don't allow any racial bias in our organization. We are here to protect the people of America. And that's what this young man was doing. That's what these people he was with was doing, protecting their community, protecting their businesses, protecting their homes, protecting their lives, monuments, statues, churches, right there. There's one that we list in ours. Churches. He put out a fire in a church. You know, we protect cemeteries. I mean, we're here to protect our communities. And then when we're at times of peace, we're here to help our communities. And, you know, I think this is the kind of guy that Kyle is from everything I've seen from him. He's a wonderful, well level-headed, well thinking young man when it comes to a crisis. He had the opportunity to go, you know, completely postal on his situation. He did not. He used great discretion in the use of his weapon.
Can I go out on a limb and say it appears to me that he was a scapegoat as soon as this good kid or man did something right, thought the terrorists, here they come and shut the whole thing down, and the story is told a completely different way.
Well, yep, that's not out on a limb. Because if you look at what happened in Portland a little over a week ago, when the Patriots were there, they stood up. Then they started dispersing people. If you look in, you look at Stone Mountain, July 4th. It's on the internet. You can look it up. when the NFAC come in, the Black Militant Militia, when they come into Stone Mountain, they were holding people at gunpoint. They were doing all this other stuff. Nothing was done about it. But when they returned, not the NFAC, but when the others returned, the Antifa and the Black Lives Matters, NFAC backed out because they caught wind that, you know, they were going to meet some resistance that they didn't want to have to stand up against. They're real brave until they find out there's resistance. But when Antifa and BLM went back, it was okay while they was running up and hitting the people there that was, you know, patriots that was, you know, had their own little protest going. But as soon as the patriots started fighting back, they shut the riot down and run everybody out of town. Okay? We see
that.
This over and over and over again in these towns, in these cities. And, you know, the thing is, I mean, it's just like, you know, they wait until somebody has the guts to stand up and then they shut it down. So maybe people need to start standing up quicker than the police and shut it down. Everybody go home and save your cities. You know, if
right.
they're going to disperse it and get rid of it, hey, I'm fine with leaving. But if you're still there and you're still burning, you're still stealing, you're still looting, you're still attacking people, killing people, crippling people, maiming people, you know, we're going to stay. We're going to stay until
what?
That stops when we're there.
You
and,
know, Bill, I have to mention that 71-year-old man that was trying to save his business a couple nights before Kyle came forward and was helping. Do you remember him where he had the fire extinguisher trying to put out his fire in his business two nights prior, I believe? And then he went
right.
around back and they broke his cheek and jaw or whatever it was. I don't exactly know what happened, but he was beat pretty badly. 71-year-old man, business owner in
yeah.
Kenosha probably for his, you know, whole adult life. You know, business gone. And he gets the hell beat out of him. So,
well, and the thing you notice is you never see on the news that these people are bad. They're peaceful protesters,
oh, no.
according to the media. Okay? You look at Wikipedia. Remember, you looked something up for me on Wikipedia the other night. And
right.
when we looked up Wikipedia, what did it say about BLM?
Well, actually, I have that right here. Decentralized movement advocating for non-violent civil disobedience and protests against incidents of police brutality and all racially motivated violence against Black people. It goes on, but throughout it paints a beautiful rosy picture, Bill. Beautiful. They're wonderful.
It's not what we're seeing in the streets, is it?
Well, no.
It's not what we're seeing them doing in the streets.
Oh, hell no.
And
do you remember the Antifa? The Antifa.
That's what I was going to ask you about. Yes. Next, do you have that available?
Okay, let's see. Is a left-wing anti-fascist political movement in the United States, and by the way, Wikipedia does lean certain ways, comprising a diverse array of autonomous groups that aim to achieve their objectives through the use of both nonviolent and violent direct action rather than through policy reform. And they are anarchists. It states that. Thank you for mentioning that, Wikipedia. Thank you.
But one thing that they do not mention is they have been designated a terrorist organization by the United States government. Am I right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think they've been fighting that. I think it says at the bottom. However, academic legal experts and scholars argue that Antifa cannot be designated as it would be a violation of the First Amendment, the United States Constitution. When do we care about the Constitution, Bill? It's gone out the window the last 100 days.
Well, I care about the Constitution, but
I do too.
But, you know, the Department of Justice has designated them as a terrorist organization. So, I mean, this is a gloss over from Wikipedia. That's just one hypocrisy I want to show. Okay.
Right.
We have had deaf ears with CNN, right? CNN has not said anything about these riots. They've been keeping them down. They've not been talking about it because it didn't go along with their agenda. It would make, you know, it would make the parties they lean toward look bad. So they've kept their mouth shut. A lot of the politicians, some of them on both sides of the aisle, by the way, have kept their mouth shut about this. They've not denounced it. They've not done anything to say this is wrong, we need to stop it or anything until just yesterday. Until just yesterday, refused, you know.
Go ahead, Bill. Go ahead.
They refused to even mention it. You know, I was appalled. I've watched the DNC and the RNC conventions. And during the DNC convention, nothing was even mentioned about it. Nothing was mentioned about it. And when the people left the DNC commission, convention, you didn't see people out there accosting them in the street and having, you know, harassing them in the street. But you did see that at the end of the RNC one. I just want to point that one out. This is, you know, I'm being fair about this. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not trying to lean one side or the other.
Hey, why don't we ask Rand Paul how it went out there? And I will say that every mainstream media is keeping it from us, every single one, MSNBC, all of them, CBS, ABC, they're all, I don't know if they're in cahoots. I would venture to say that I could make a statement that it might be, you know, that something's going on there. Did you know about the Don, didn't you tell me about the Don Lemon remark a couple of days ago?
Yeah, the day after this happened with Kyle, Don Lemon got on CNN and he made the remark that, you know, they were missing the boat on this. They need to start talking about it because the focus was on the riots and they weren't hitting the focus. So when did the news start looking at the focus groups to decide what they're going to report? I thought news was non-biased reporting of the facts, and that's what we're trying to do here in this current event show, is we're trying to give you the facts. We're trying to show you the truth the best we have found it, and I pray that everybody will please take the time to go to these links and look all this over and think about what we have heard, you what you will hear and what you will see in these links. They're very important. You know, the media tends to worry about ratings, okay? We're not worried about ratings. We're worried about the truth. We want you to know the truth. We want you to know the best of our ability. When we cover these current events, we're going to bring them to you and hopefully be able to shed light on something that's being kept in darkness. You know, then we want to go, you know, not only CNN, Fox News. I heard a lot of the different people on there say things that, you know, was pointing toward that Kyle was, you know, a bad person. The only person I see that I heard, I mean, I don't get to watch the news much, as you know, with this organization and putting on these radio shows and stuff. I don't get to watch the news much, but the only thing I heard was Tucker Carlson. Well, he was the only one. They did not try to eviscerate Kyle or ignore the situation that I heard on Fox News. Now, I didn't get to listen to everybody. I'm not going to say I did. But there were several on there that it really infuriated me the way their comments they made.
I have to say, Bill, Don Lemon said, I don't know if I'm paraphrasing, Kenosha violence is hurting a certain group, a partisan group, and he wants it stopped now. It has to stop because it's hurting certain parties, political parties, okay? And that's a problem.
Right. Well, I think you even said that Don Lemon had made the remark that they had to start doing this because of a certain political party, you know, needed that now. They needed to stand up. They needed to take a stand against this because it was hurting them. They were losing. Did you not tell me that?
Yes, suppose. And I also want to bring up that Mayor Wheeler after a patriot, and I'm not picking, no one should die. No one should be hurt and killed and be unsafe. He was killed, assassinated, and I just want to bring that out. And I don't want to take off what we're doing here for Kyle, but he was assassinated, and now all of a sudden it's get the guns in there, get this stopped in Portland. 100-plus days. I've been watching this social media at night for 90 days. No one knows. Help. Help.
Okay, they arrested the shooter, right? The guy
yeah,
that assassinated him.
There's reports they let him go. Now, I don't have that confirmed. I don't. If anybody knows, please call in. Please help. Whatever. I don't know if we have time for that, but I would love to know.
Or contact us through our citizensagainstterrorism.org. There's a Yahoo email. You can send it to us because we would like to know if you've got any documentation of that for sure. But that has been the case. These people that's doing all this in these cities, they're just turning around and taking them to jail, writing them a citation, and cutting them out with a court appearance date. And some of the people, some of the cities have stood up and said, well, we're just not going to prosecute them anymore. Okay. This is what we're up against. But you notice that they gladly, when Kyle went in and turned himself in, they started slapping charges on him left and right. It's not just the murder charges. They tried all different kinds of things. And I want to say one thing. I want to touch on the gun laws. Kyle did not have the gun in Illinois and transport it across line. He did not take it back to Illinois. The gun was in Wisconsin when he picked it up. The gun was in Wisconsin when he turned it back over to whoever was taking care of it. He did not transport this across the state line. And in Wisconsin, so that automatically rules out what the deal is in Illinois with their law, which he could have still been covered. With in Illinois, but in Wisconsin, as long as you've got a person 18 years or older with you when you've got that weapon, then you're legal to have it. He had his brother with him. It was by a bad sense of circumstance and by the police not letting him get back to the people that he was with when he stopped to render aid that he found himself alone in this situation. And this young man done a wonderful job of protecting himself, not losing his head, not turning his gun on just a bunch of people and start opening it up. And to me, we had a question for a title of the show. It said Kyle Rittenhouse, patriot or murderer? Well, I'm here to tell you from everything I've seen, and if you look at this evidence that we've got in these links, you will see that Kyle Rittenhouse is a patriot. He is not a murderer. He acted in self-defense.
Yeah. He sure
and
did.
He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything that he did not have to do to stay alive. And if you can look at that video, and if you can look at these interviews and stuff, and you can come back and you still think that Kyle Rittenhouse was a murderer, then you're part of the problem. And that's about all I got to say for today. But I do want to Chaplain couldn't be here today, so I'm going to give you a verse, and I want to give you a short prayer. It says in Proverbs 19:28-29, an ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray today that you will be with Kyle, that you will help him through this situation. He has a wonderful defense team. We're glad that he has them. And Father, we just pray that you will put your hedge of protection around him, as well as our cities, that and those who were trying like Kyle did to get a stop to this, try to end it peacefully if possible. Lord, that you will protect us, that you will shield us, and you will keep us safe. Father, God bless each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, I want to say at the end, if anybody's interested in Citizens Against Terrorism, I've told you through the show what we do. If you're interested in trying to put a stop to this, then you need to go to that citizensagainstterrorism.org. Citizensagainstterrorism.org. And when you get there, you can look at the page. You can decide if you want to be part of us. And then you can go to the rally point, the Facebook rally point at the top of the page. You can hit that. It will take you to our Facebook page where you will hit join. At that time, we will process your request as soon as possible. But we do check out your background. So be patient. We'll get with you. We'll give you directions on how to become part of our organization. Thank you. God bless you. God bless America.
Thank you.